Welcome back to the Lost Joystick Network, episode 54. My name is Mike, joined as always by my co-host Jay. Jay, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
My ears are sweaty from these new headphones.
Yeah, they are. Mine are too. I kind of aired out a little bit.
Get some new headphones in the studio, and man, they are. It's a warm, humid day here in Michigan, and it's
They sound fantastic.
They sound great. A little wet, sound great. Yeah. But anyway, so how you doing? What's up?
I'm good. Hanging out, doing a podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah, how are you?
podcast. Tell me about that. Yeah. Okay, good, good. Okay, good talk. Anything else I need to know?
No, I got a graded issue of Super Metroid.
I don't think you do. You have one by you.
Possessions, 9/10 of the law, brother.
You're in my space right now.
Your name is not Tom.
No, it's not. But my order that says my name on it over here correlates with the matrix number of that. Mm. A lot of empirical evidence that proves your story, the contrary of your story. Get away from that. Don't look at my evidence.
Don't touch my box.
Anyway, cool. Everything good?
Good.
I ask you for the third time.
Yes, I'm still good.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Are you still good?
I haven't been asked yet.
I asked you actually as many times as you've asked
nope.
me now.
Nope. I'm good. I have been, how has your week been?
Good. Actually kind of uneventful. I haven't really done much.
Okay.
Been cleaning some Super Nintendo games.
Help build some shelves.
Yeah. Help build some shelves.
Set up a receiver.
Yep.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I guess we could. I was going to say
You that. Suck at this part.
I was going to save that for collecting.
No, it's not collecting.
But it correlates to collecting. It does because I have some stuff that correlates to that.
All right, well, never mind. Then I guess I'll talk about my week then.
How was your week?
It's been fucking busy. Oh, my God. So, wound up going to CCAG in Cleveland on Saturday. Was going, Kalen, Milwaukee Retro Gamer, came into town, stayed with me. We got up first thing Saturday morning, drove to the North Olmsted Soccer Multiplex or whatever it is, which is where they host CCAG. But I could not sleep. So 2 a.m., I'm on Facebook on my phone, and I see, because I didn't have a table for CCAG. I was going to help our friends, John and Kayla, at Rock'em Sock'em Retro, yeah. And they always give me some space, so I was going to bring stuff. And Bob, one of their friends, Bob, was there, and his dad was there as well, and Greg, I believe is his name. So 2 a.m., I see this post from earlier in the day that the guy, Mike, from CCAG said, hey, we've got one table number 3 that popped open if somebody wants it. So you just email me at this email address. So at 2 a.m. I emailed the guy. This is like 8 hours after he posted it. And I said, hey, is that table still available? I'm coming anyway, so I can deal with it in the morning. 2 minutes later, the guy's like, yeah, it's here. It's all yours. I'll see you in the morning. And I'm like, why are you up? And then I thought to myself, why am I up? So, but yeah, got it. Wound up getting my own table over there this time, which was cool.
Nice.
And I did bring some heavier stuff with me this time because I am working on accruing funds to make a substantial purchase, from a collecting perspective. So I brought a lot of stuff like Silent Hill Shattered Memories and my copy of Magic Knight Ray Earth, stuff like that, right? And got it all ready and, all that good stuff. And, went with Kalen. Kalen didn't bring much to sell, but that didn't stop him, by the way. I'll give you Kalen's collecting update as well.
Oh, okay.
But we had a great time, sold a ton of stuff. I made a good chunk of money. I picked up a few things, which I'll get to in collecting, but it was just fun. It's a good event. The people that put it on are good people. I really like it because it's weird that it's regional, right? You go there and I see people that I only see there. So I saw them last year. I remember them. They remember me. It was just kind of this nice thing. So now I'm on the list and it looks like I'll probably table it next year. And yeah, it was a good time. Like I said, cool. I can't complain. I made some good money, sold some stuff, and I did get a few things. I will get into Kalen's stuff. I'm going to put his business out there big time because he actually just posted it. Kalen was hemming and hawing. There was a guy there who was kind of selling off his collection. He was getting out, I felt like.
Yeah.
And he had stuff like a boxed Crusader of Senti and all kinds of cool stuff. And the one thing he had that I did not buy that I wish of were the Nintendo trading cards. He had two boxes of them, and they were pretty ragged, but I'm like, whatever, man. And I should have bought one, but I'm trying to save for something big, and I'm like, don't do it. You know, this is how you nickel and dime yourself. So anyway, he had a copy of Hagane, The Final Conflict, for the Super Nintendo, and holy crap.
What Kalen, do you want for it, like 10 bucks?
Yeah, it was 6 Dairy Queen coupons. Yeah. And Kalen wanted it, and he had a good price on it, and it was in nice condition, and that doesn't happen very often, either of those things, especially together. So we were talking about it, and I was just like, dude, normally I wouldn't do this, but you got to buy that thing. Kalen has two complete boxes other than the cart. He had no cart. I was
just going to say, you know what would really go good with that? Yeah. If he had a box and the manual.
So now he has a supremely nice copy of the whole thing, but I was like, you have the box, you have this, you have that. Just get it. You're hemming and hawing, and then, yeah, so he picked it up. And then he also, so we were all very happy about that, obviously. He also got a few 3DO games, like hard-to-find ones, including Snow Job, which is like a double-ish size box. 3DO boxes are already tall enough, right? They are the outliers of your collection if you have any box 3DO stuff. But it's also like twice as deep. So, yeah. So it was cool, but it was in beautiful shape. It was really nice. So Kalen got some cool stuff, and we had a good time. I was wrecked by the end of that thing. I wound up, you know, driving back 3 hours, about 3 hours to my house, and I was just like, I don't even know how I did it. I literally was on zero sleep that day. It was pretty tough, but had a good time. Sold a lot of Super Famicom stuff. Yeah. One other thing I should probably mention in my weeks is that the day after we last recorded with our friend Chase, I had a nice little problem with our basement where it flooded a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was a fun time, but nobody really wants to hear about it. Everything was fine. Nothing of any consequence was harmed because I'm smart enough to not leave that shit on the floor anymore. But anyway, so, yeah, other than that, that was pretty much it, man. And it's just been a busy, busy time. So, yeah. So what do you think? You think it's time to progress into the next segment?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it about?
Probably about stuff we brought home with us.
But if you had a word where purveyors. If you went and purchased a number of things of a specific genre and kept them, what would you call that?
Maybe collecting?
Have the mics off there.
I wish you would just make
that. Yeah, I need to. Yeah. But yeah, time to discuss the collecting update, which couple things. Number one, normally if I go to a show, you're thinking, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah.
Here comes Mike, Mr. I go to a show and buy all the things. Not this time, guys.
Everybody buckle up. This is 3/4 of our
episode. It's not going to be 45 minutes. I got about 4 or 5 things back here and one thing that's not. And that's it.
Good.
And then the other part of that is you have some stuff to talk about too.
I might.
You do.
Maybe.
And there's no might. Maybe. You've already alluded to it. So okay. Do you want to go first or second?
I want to go second.
Yeah, you never go second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Go second. Go ahead.
All right. First. Yeah, okay. I'll be the pleb. I mean, anyway. So I will start. I bought a couple of comic books. I don't have them right in front of me. One was Game Boy issue number 1, Valiant Game Boy. And the other was one of those Nintendo comic systems. I think it was number 8. Both were like... well, very well priced and not exactly like fantastic condition. But again, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
One looked better than the other, but I don't really care. So got those for relatively inexpensive price. And let's see what else I got here. I'll just pull it up here. I don't remember what else I got.
You could grab it all with one hand.
Yeah. I think there's other things, but I can't remember. I had a guy come into my booth and trade me a copy of Castlevania Chronicles for the PS1. I actually have a sealed copy of this game at home that I was going to send in to get graded at some point. It's not great, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I just traded him some stuff out of the booth because I feel like I'll just sell this as I work towards my goal there. If not,
and you had a couple things he really wanted, right?
People, whenever you're in a booth and they go, are you interested in trades? If he has something I want, they're almost always going to find something they want.
Yeah.
They didn't come there and ask for no reason.
Oh,
so, okay. Yes. One other thing I did not mention is I got one of the... let me look up here. I bought a Mega EverDrive Pro.
Ah.
The Mega EverDrive Pro is an EverDrive, but it also lets you play Sega CD games. And I think 32X and Master System games. They'll do all of them. So I got one of those. I actually went over to Stone Age Gamer, who I got to know, the guy David that was in the booth there. Good dude. And Basically, what would happen is I went over and said, give me the X7, which is like the less capable. They have the X3, 5, and 7.
Yeah.
And then they have this one, which is 270. The other one was like 150. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy like a couple of fun things, not spend too much money. And it was like 150, whatever. So I went over and looked at it, and I'm like, okay, I'll come back. Well, he wound up coming over to my booth at some point. And we were talking because I had seen him over there, and I was like, I'll come back, whatever.
Yeah.
So he came over and looked at my booth. He's like, Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6. He's like going through like, why don't we work out a trade? And I'm like, okay, sure. I went over to get the X7 in trade and they didn't have any. Oh. He had none. So I wanted to be like, all right, I don't want to pay for the pro. And he's like, well, let's just trade. So whatever, it worked out. So he came over and picked up a bunch of stuff from the booth. That, like I had someone had traded me a copy of Pokemon Sapphire, just a loose copy for Game Boy Advance. And then he grabbed some of those games and all that stuff. And then I wound up getting a trade. So I picked up the Mega EverDrive Pro in white. And I'll tell you, highly recommended. It's pretty great. I'm really liking it. So that was cool. So I also bought something from them. I bought Gex. The Gex for the 3DO, the long box edition, which is harder to find than the standard jewel case. And I wanted because I just like the box. And for $35, you can't go wrong. That's actually probably underpriced, I would say.
Yeah.
But got good old Gex for the 3DO. Set that right there. And the only other purchase I really spent any real money on were two copies of Adventure. I bought Adventure, which I love this game, for Atari. I got the Sears Telegame Edition, and then I got the standard orange box, and they are both complete. They're not the nicest copies in the world, but they're fine, and I don't care. I just wanted these, and I really like these games. So
I think we had the orange box when I was a kid.
I think most people had. This was, you know, very rarely do people have the Sears Telegame Edition. That's why they're hard to find now. Yeah. So, but that was really kind of it from a collecting perspective. Like I said, I sold more than I bought. I tried to keep a governor on the amount of money I spent because I'm saving.
Yeah.
I'm saving for something. So okay. Go ahead.
Good.
Okay. So how about you, Jay? What'd you pick up?
So
Mr. Big Pants over here wearing your big collector pants, right?
Buckle up, everybody. This is the 45 minute and a half. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Really. It won't be. I decided I've been going back and forth about the Super Nintendo set, and I finally decided, you know what, I just need to do it. So I'm putting effort into it now.
Yeah, like real effort.
Yes. So we went over to Kyle's over at Retro Replayed and got into his back room. He has a bunch of boxes of just
games. Kyle's got a lot of stuff in the back that he doesn't really have a lot of time to go through.
Yes.
That's been sitting back there since before he bought the place 3 years ago.
So I went through that. I got about, I didn't go through everything he had Super Nintendo, but I went through a couple of those. Ended up pulling about 80 games out of that. So I got a good start.
Yeah.
So I got some cardboard with them too, which was nice. Got a couple. I got like Donkey Kong Country sealed, or not sealed, complete sealed. And it's actually a really nice copy. Like the box is in really good shape. All the paperwork's in good shape.
Yeah.
I also got a banger that I have with me. This one we got to be careful with.
Well, this is different. We didn't get this from Kyle now.
No, this didn't come from Kyle.
You got to save this for the last.
Okay.
You got to talk about the other stuff. That's the last thing, because that was the last thing you got too.
So I'll jump off that. So this is where I say it ties in, is I end up getting an OG pressing of Danzig. I don't know if I talked about that last episode.
No, I don't think so.
But I got an original pressing of Danzig. It actually came. I did talk about it.
Okay.
Because I brought it up about being from Wyatt Earp.
Oh, that's right.
Records.
Yep, you're right.
Record stores. So I decided to play that. I picked up my Pioneer SX1250.
Yes.
Which is complete and 100% functional.
Yes, finally. And after many years of trying to figure it out.
We took it over to a local guy around here that does
good dude.
Work. Did really good job with it. Very quick.
And then I paid him
a couple things.
And I paid him how?
Well, Mike demanded to pay for it because him and I were recapping it, or we redid everything. And he said, you know what? I made the mistake. I'll take care of it. It was, what was it, $100?
Yeah.
I think he was very, very affordable. And Mike went over there and he had all the stuff from CGC in the back. And he goes, what is all this? The Nick guy. And he goes, oh, these are some games I was selling. And he goes, is that Dragon Warrior?
Yeah.
Is that Dragon Warrior 4? What was it, 4 or 5?
So yes, it was Dragon Quest 5 that he saw and was like, oh, what's this? And I'm like, you can have that, dude. Like, I have 15 of these things. He's like, I can't just take it. I can't just take it. So then I said, he started digging around. I'm like, I have other stuff. You want to look? He grabbed Dragon Quest 6, Dragon Quest 5, Fire Emblem.
That's what it was.
And then something, Dragon Quest one and two, which is on one cart.
Yes, on one cart.
He grabbed all those.
It's all the Super Famicom
games. Yeah, all the Super Famicom games. He's like, cool, let's call it even.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
So we
got that taken care of. It's at your house. Super stoked about that. We now have matching 1250s because we're dorks.
But yeah, so I got that. That's back up and running. So I was pretty excited about that. So everything's like full circle now. I've got the SX1250. I got that was from my childhood. My mom and dad bought it when I was like the year I was born. Also have a PL520 record player that was also purchased at the same time. So I have both those, and then I picked up some Infinity speakers that you and I took care of a while back and got those. So everything sounds great. So
cool.
So this was purchased down at CGC.
No,
not CGC.
This was bought at the local disc replay with me and Kalen the day after the CCAG show.
So this one's a pretty big deal. I was pretty excited. Mike got me a pretty big gift. I hope everybody's ready for this. Buckle up, everybody.
It's a big boy.
It is a CIB Brunswick World Tournament Championship.
That's right. And who's on the cover of that?
Walter Ray Williams Jr.
Correct.
I'm thinking about having it graded.
It's pretty nice, honestly.
It is.
Except for the rip.
It's got a little rip in the corner. But other than that, it's actually a really nice
You know what that costs?
And what'd you pay, like $5?
$5.
You know what this bad boy calls for in price charting? Yeah.
A cool 16, 14.
Yeah. 16, baby.
It's net. Also, I'm going to tell you that it has the tray and the baggie and all the inserts. So yeah, for $5, everything. it's worth that.
Yeah, the tray and the tray and the inserts are worth too the $5. Funny. So.
Oh, man.
There you go. That's staying up all night.
That stays right there. Walter Ray is going to be he's a honorary member of the show now.
I grabbed a couple Super Nintendos from you and brought those back to life.
Yep.
I got a one chip at home now that I'm rocking and rolling on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that worked out really good.
It's cool. I got to get one. The other one I got to get back. I should try to sell it for $4.99. That's exactly right. Ooh.
You should.
Ooh, how the turntables.
What? You're going to try and sell that for $4.99? No.
Oh, no, you can't?
I'll trade you
This is what it's like. No, don't touch that. Don't even look at it. It can't be played ever.
It's on my side.
Get away from that. All right. What else we got? Anything?
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, then I guess it's your turn to transition us into the show topic.
Oh, okay. But don't I say what the show topic is?
Usually you do, because I usually finish with the collecting. So, Jay, what's the topic of the show that we're here to discuss today?
Golden Axe for the Sega Genesis.
That is correct. It I is. Know that because it's right here on my notes.
Yes.
So, yes,
and it's Golden on all Axe. The TVs around us.
It is true. We're surrounded by Golden Axe or X's or XI. I don't know. Anyway, so what platforms did this game come out on of the era for consoles? Because, go ahead.
So it came out on Genesis and Mega Drive.
Yep.
It came out on the Sega Master System and PC Engine CD.
Correct.
So
it also was released on basically every microcomputer platform and also DOS and like all Amiga, all that stuff. But we're not going to concentrate on that. We're going to concentrate on the Sega Genesis Mega Drive release, and we're not really going to discuss much else. So, Jay, when was this game released?
It was arcade in Japan in 1989, January.
So in arcades, it was released in Japan in 1989.
Yes.
You got to pay attention. Get off your phone.
I am paying attention. And then worldwide in May of 1989.
Okay. And what about like home consoles? Let's say the Sega Genesis.
Or the Mega Drive?
No. Well,
I want to tell you both.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So Japan was December 22nd, 1989.
Yep.
North America was December 23rd, 1989.
Just in time for that last minute Christmas gift.
Right?
When your kid's got a Genesis, but he's out of games to play, and it's 2 days before Christmas because you're a bad dad.
And then almost a year later in Europe, November 30th, 1990.
That is correct.
And lastly,
yes,
on the PC Engine in Japan, just 1990.
Sometime in that year of 1990. That is correct. All right.
Oh, we're already done with the first page.
Transition us, Jay. Look at me. I am the host now, he says.
I know. It's kind of creepy.
I know. You go last in collecting. You run the show now.
So tell me about the gameplay and story, Mike.
The gameplay and story of Golden Axe. Oh, boy. So it is an arcade-style beat-em-up, right? Mostly horizontally scrolling, although there's some up and down, whatever. But So this game takes place in the mythical world of Yuria, where the reptile fiend Death Adder and his soldiers have invaded every village and massacred thousands. Death Adder had the king of Yuria and his daughter kidnapped and imprisoned, then stole the legendary Golden Axe. I tried to dig up some information about the Golden Axe and didn't really find out much about it. I thought, oh, there must be some compelling things about this Golden Axe, other than the fact that it's made of gold. But apparently, not a lot of details.
If they told you everything about it, it wouldn't be legendary.
Okay. But it'd tell me something about it besides it being called the Golden Axe.
But then it wouldn't be legendary. Then it'd just be the Golden Axe.
So your job is to lay waste to all of Death Adder's soldiers and beasts, get to his castle, defeat Death Adder Jr., which I'm going to take a minute to talk about that. You sent your kid out there first? Man, what a bitch. Death Adder's like, you go fight them first. And if they get through you, I'll take care of them. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You're the dad. Get out there. Be on the front line. What a pussy. Yeah, because he's last. Death Adder's the last guy. Spoiler alert.
Would think Death Adder Jr. would be. He didn't pull the Indigo Montoya.
He did not. Mm. Yeah, he did not have his father killed. And he was, I don't know if he was prepared to die. I have no idea. But You get to play as one of three characters. Each of these characters kind of have their own skills, the way they move, the weapon they use, and their own magic. So there's magic in the game that you can use as well. The first one is the Barbarian Axe Battler, which, man, what a lucky name to have for a game like Golden Axe where you're battling. Like, what are the odds that your name would be Axe Battler? It's like a librarian named Bookman or something.
Who are you and why do you come here?
Yeah.
My name is Axe.
Axe Battler.
And I'm here for the legendary Golden Axe.
And I'm going to battle you for the legendary Golden Axe. And he'd be like, oh, well.
What if he said, I have to ask you a question?
He'd be like, well, Axe Battler, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, again, each of these guys have their own style of magic. In this case, he has what they call volcano magic. I also saw it called earth magic. And when you use your magic in the game, it like zaps all the enemies, right? So like you just kind of be sitting there, press your magic button, which is all too easy to do by accident, by the way, on a Sega Genesis controller.
Yes.
Yeah, but neither here nor there. But you'll just kind of zap everybody on the screen. It doesn't always kill them all, but you know, it does some good damage. And then there's Gilius Thunderbird, the dwarf, who uses fire magic. And then Tyrus Flair, who is the Amazon woman, whatever. And she uses lightning magic. And man, her butt cheeks are hanging out.
God.
I just was like, I don't remember this game that much from a kid. Being a kid, I remember it a little bit, but I was like, are those digital butt cheeks? Like, it was just kind of funny. Like, I thought this didn't happen for another couple of years until we got to, like, King of Fighters or something, or Fatal Fury, you know? Anyway, so, yeah, more of the backstory.
Can I
go ahead, interject please. Real quick? Yeah, absolutely.
John actually had a good question in the chat. He wanted to know, what weapon does Axe Battler use?
You know, it doesn't say here, but I'm going to guess it's probably an axe.
No, he uses a sword.
I see. But Gilius uses an axe?
He does.
Okay, cool. Maybe, you know, whatever. So, a little bit more information. Axe and Tyrus both got to see their mothers killed by Death Adder. And this dude also killed Gilius' brother. So they got a bone to pick with this guy, you know. I'm just saying. Now, you got 8 stages in this game. That's all I know. There's 8 stages. No, 8 stages. There's 8 stages. There are some bonus stages in between where I think you like, I don't even think, you kick squirrels or something. I'm not sure what they are. But in between, when you're in between some of these levels, you'll be like sitting by a fire and it'll start playing this song. And then all of a sudden these squirrel guys will show up. Sometimes they're blue, sometimes they're green.
Yeah.
And your job is to run around and kick them. And when you kick them, they either give you, the blue ones give you magic pots, which is what you use to build up your magic in the game. Or the green ones give you meat, which is your health.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically you have 3 button controls. You have a button for jump, you have a button for attack, and you have a button for magic. These can be modified in the game options. But
how many times did you hit magic thinking you're jumping?
A lot.
Yeah, I did it once.
A lot. I was like, I would use it. And the problem is you use the magic and that's it. You got to get more of those pots and you're probably not going to get them before the end of the level. And there were times where I was like, motherfucker. And I just hit reset because I knew I would need it, you know? So anyway, and then let's see here. There's 3 play modes. So there's arcade, which is the full 8 stages of the game.
Yep.
The beginner version, which is the simplified version of the game with only three stages, and at the end you fight Death Adder Jr. Again, thanks for sending him out there, Dad. And then the duel. So the duel is interesting because in a one-player mode for the duel, this could be a two-player game, and this is a two-player game in general, I should say. One player, you get to fight 12 of his goons, right? And what happens is they get progressively more difficult.
Yeah.
In two-player game, you fight your friend. It's almost like the predecessor of like Street Fighter. Like they even said, and we'll talk about it more in the development part. The developer was like, I kind of leveraged Street Fighter for some of the, you know, like the original Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I wanted a part of that in the game. So you get three lives, although that can be adjusted. You get three lives. You get 3 to 5 hits before you lose a life in the game. That can be adjusted in the game options for sure. Yes. And there are three continues. When those continues are gone, that's it, buddy. It's game over. So, again, each player has a magic box. It's up on the screen at all times. It says magic, and it goes from like level 1 to 2 to whatever. Each character has different levels for magic. So, Gilius has 3. You can get to level 3, right? Axe Battler, 4. And Tyrus has 9. Ooh. So, yeah. There are power-ups. I talked about the creatures that show up in the game in between stages.
They look like elves.
They kind of look like squirrels to me, but whatever.
They look like elves with Jerry Seinfeld's face on them.
Maybe.
Like I thought they were.
You ever notice when you kick a blue squirrel, you get magic pots? But yeah.
What's the deal with this blue
guy? What's the deal with the green guy? So, but yeah, the power-ups are basically the magic pots and the meat that increase your life. And let's see. The Bizarrians. So there are enemies that ride on monsters in this game. If you can defeat them, then you can ride the monster. Usually, like as soon as you defeat the guy, it just lays there. So you walk over, you mount the monster, and then you can run around with them. Some of them, like, you know, wag their tail and knock people over. Other ones shoot fire or fire balls. So that's kind of cool. And once the game is over, once you actually hit, like, you know, game over, there's a scoreboard. So you can kind of see your score. The number of times you revived and your total strength is what they call it. And they kind of rate you so you can get like a, you know, a B or a D or an F based like on your score.
ABC grade.
Yeah, just kind of let you know how they think you did in the game. And then it kind of saves that until you reset it. There's no battery in this game or anything. So, and then last of all, we talked about game options. The life meter, you can change the number of hits you can take from 3 to 5. The control, you can change the button configs. I'd like to make it so I have to press all 3 buttons to use magic or something. I don't know. And then the sound test and all that junk. So, Jay, tell me a little bit about the background and development of this game. And now I'm remembering why you do gameplay and story. Because it's time to talk about the people who developed this game.
And most times I butcher their names.
Correct.
Let's see what I do tonight. Maybe I'm on a roll tonight.
You're not.
No, probably not. So background development. So developed and published by Sega for home consoles other than PC Engine CD, which was published by Telnet.
Hmm. Telenet.
Oh, Telenet.
Telenet's something completely different. Trust me, I'm an IT nerd. Moving on.
Oh, God. Originally ran on Sega 16B arcade hardware, which was the basis for the Genesis.
Yep, the Sega 16 was essentially what that they modified to create the home console with.
Yes. Other games on the Sega 16 hardware was Fantasy Zone, Shinobi, and Altered Beast.
And there were others, but those were the good
ones. Those were probably the most popular.
Well, the most popular ones, the good ones.
So the lead developer was Makoto Uchida.
Makoto Uchida.
Oh, I was way off.
Who also did
Altered Beast.
So our friend, Mr. Makoto Uchida, wanted to make a Double Dragon game, but he did not want to make a Double Dragon game because Technos was doing a very good job of that, right? Yeah. So he kind of developed this idea of like a hack and slash beat 'em up and made it more of a, like, whatever you want to call it, medieval times or whatever this, you know, whatever era this game kind of takes place in. He did not want to be like modern world era type stuff like Double Dragon was. And he also was influenced by Street Fighter. We talked about, like, you know, that one-on-one play in the two-player dual mode. He also said that he really liked how popular games like Dragon Quest were and was trying to, like, he understood that people were interested in that, like, mythology and that era and having games set in that period. So that's why this game was kind of set in that period. He's like, I want to kind of bring that to the arcades. But how, you can't bring like Dragon Quest to the arcades, right? So yeah, that's kind of what he was doing. So,
tell me the reception of the game.
Well, thanks for asking. What a handsome looking question. So this game, I would say, was definitely a popular game of the era. You know, it's definitely one that I remember seeing in arcades. I remember the marquee of this game and being kind of like intimidated by it. Like, I was like, what is this game about? Like, you would see that like Japanese logo and it says Golden Axe and it's circling around and you're just like, I don't know if I want to play this or now, you know, whatever. So, but it actually was quite a popular game, and it wound up spawning an entire series of games, including a direct sequel, Golden Axe 2, which was also on the Genesis. There were other games that were on Master System or strictly to the arcades, even up to the Saturn, the Duel. I think it's Golden Axe, the Duel came out on the Saturn. So, and these games are still, you know, revered to this day. People enjoy playing Golden Axe. You can get them in a number of modern compilations on Xbox, PS2, Steam, all that stuff. They're in a lot of the standard Sega compilations, which should come as no surprise because it was included in one of the original Sega compilations, the Sega 6-Pack. If anybody collects retro video games, they know the Sega 6-Pack because there's a lot of those carts out there.
Do you have a Sega 6-Pack?
I do. It was a game that they put out in like 1995, kind of at the tail end of the popularity of the Genesis, where it included Golden Axe, but it also had a lot of their games that were very good from the early era of the console. So Columns, Revenge of Shinobi, Sonic the Hedgehog, Streets of Rage, and Super Hang-On. It was also a pack-in for the console as well very late. So yeah, it was definitely a game that people enjoyed. I will say, you know, Jay, I'm going to quiz you. Don't look at the sheet. Look away. Don't look at it. Where do you think this game ranked on Polygon's top 500 games of all time?
I'm going to guess it's a Genesis game, so it didn't.
Boy, do not let Nick hear you say that. You are correct, though. Did not. So don't look.
No.
Hardcore Gaming 101's top 47,000 games of all time. Where do you think that this game landed?
47,000?
The top 47,000 games of all time as ranked by Hardcore Gaming 101.
Can I at least get a ballpark?
I'll say it's more than 100, but less than 2,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 1,200.
585.
No shit.
I was actually kind of surprised. And I would say also around that, Blood for the PC, which is a very revered game that a bunch of PC nerds love, was 586. And a game that you're definitely familiar with was Nerf 587. Arkanoid.
Oh.
That's right. So five, right around that neighborhood, that was around also what Golden Axe was. One more. It's hard to find information about when you do games like this for a show like this. It's hard to garner reception information of the era. People liked the game, but now there's not a lot to refer to. It's not one of these, like, it's not Super Mario Bros. 3. It's not Tetris. No. It's not those types of games. So when I can't sit here and go, oh, Nintendo Power's top 100. It's not going to be on there. It wasn't a Nintendo game. Right? It's not going to be in Game Informer's top 200 games of all time. No big deal. But what I did find is that, and this is pretty much par for the course. That's why I put this example in here. Complex.com did the 100 best Sega games of all time. It landed at number 52. Okay? So, and I think that's probably right, you know? But anyway, what's funny is if you kind of look at modern reviews of this game, they're very good. People really like this game nowadays. So, which I think is telling. All right. We got to burn through this. It's time for the LGN game ratings.
All right. You know who's up first.
So let's give our friend 8-Bit Supremacy, Robbie, a call.
Hello.
It's time to talk to our friend. You might know him as 8-Bit Supremacy. You might know him as Robert J. Coleman. We just call him Ribby. The Grip King of Chicago. The aforementioned 8-Bit Supremacy, everybody.
I'm bad!
Ribby, how you doing, buddy?
What is up?
What's up? How you doing?
Doing all right, man. I feel like it's been a while since we've talked on here. A lot of things have happened in the collecting video game journey for me.
It's been two whole weeks.
Two?
Yeah.
It's actually been four.
No, it's more than that.
It's been four.
I wasn't on the last show. There's some weird callers that called in and stuff.
There
like
were some
that,
weird callers. Remember, we had an interview.
Oh yeah, that's
so
right.
It's been about a month.
We had Chase on. We
yeah,
had
it's been about a month, and like normally I'm like pretty slow going on collecting, but I made a lot of money at that video game summit, and I just got a little spendy with some stuff, so I bought a bunch of stuff.
All right, you have 6 minutes. Go.
Oh my God.
What'd you get? Yeah, I know you. Well, you and I swung a deal for the game sitting right in front of me, actually, here, yeah, because I knew we needed it for the show.
What was that?
Golden Axe.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Brunswick World Tournament.
I forgot. Yes. I've got so much stuff. I forgot I got that off you. So at VGS, that's one of the only things I did get is I traded you, Golden Axe, and some other stuff. I don't even know what it was because all my peripherals, you're like, I'm taking these. Is that cool? And I said, yep. And then I like took a Captain America and the Avengers NES CIB home.
Yep.
Something I've been wanting passively for quite a while, but the price kept getting stupid and I'm stubborn, but you traded me. So now I have it. And it's a nice copy and actually full circle. That game that you got, that copy you got from Nick Shuptak.
Yep.
And then he told me later, he's like, oh, you know what's funny? That game, I got it from our local video store in Waukegan the day I bought Action 52 complete in box for $5. And then I bought one other game and it was Captain America, the Avengers CIB for $5. And I was like, damn dude, I'm glad I got that because I remember you selling most of your collection stuff to Mike, you. And, I was kind of like somewhat like sad that I didn't make a move on it. And then he reminded me of all this and I was like, oh, well now it's back in its proper home.
It worked out. Yes.
It worked out. It's a weird twist of fate. So I got that. I don't remember what else I got. I think I swapped my copy of upgraded my copy of Wacky Races because Nick sold off a bunch of heavy NES games. One of them was Wacky Races. Before he
sure
sold
did.
That, I was like, yeah, he sure fucking did. He sold off like six grand worth of heavy NES games. But yeah, before he did that, I brought my personal copy from home. I was like, let me switch it before you sell it. And he let me do that because he's solid, and he let me do that for everything he sold off. So all my shit's pretty upgraded, pretty nice.
It's pretty much what I did with it, too. After I got your sloppy seconds, I went through and did the exact same thing and did some upgrades. And I'm going to tell you, I went, and not to derail your time, I apologize, but at the show, part of what I did was I went through and audited my NES boxes. I was like, okay, I don't need one in the box and also one on the shelf. So I would go and, make sure I had the right variant or whatever for the box and stuff I had. But oh my God, all the stuff that I had got from Nick was so nice. And when I was selling it at the show, everybody was like, all these are in such nice condition. And I'm like, you can thank our friend Nick for that. So anyway,
dude, he was always like collector quality, even back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Back during that time when I was collecting, I was like, fuck it. As long as it works, I didn't care what it looked like. But he was like the dude who was meticulous about that.
Yep.
So I appreciate that now because I have majority of his collection.
Yep.
What else I get from VGS? I walked the floor, and the only thing I bought off the floor was some dude had a, right before we opened, I always scanned the floor, all the tables, and he had a Mortal Kombat, the movie.
Oh, that's right, the tape.
Cassette tape soundtrack, and I was like, gotta have that. Gave him $5 for it.
I'm stupid enough to buy this. Swish.
I think that's about it from VGS, but I got some other shit. I got 4 Game Gear empty boxes that are mint from my friend Eric Vostel. He just gave them to me because he got them from a friend. It was, I'm looking at them right fucking here. Mortal Kombat. A big surprise, right? Revenge of Grand Con. Weird name. The artwork looks like an RPG, but it's actually in the Wonder Boy series, like Adventure Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Box manual for that, box manual for Mortal Kombat, box manual for Sonic 2 and Sonic Chaos. I don't collect Game Gear boxes. Those are now the only 4 completed box Game Gear games I own because I've never actively chased that.
But so you don't have Garfield caught in the act?
No, I don't. Not yet. We'll see if I snowball into that one. I probably won't. You better strap yourselves in. This is a long collecting update for me. So.
You better hurry.
No, I'm going, man. You're not cutting me off. We're doing this.
Click.
A friend of mine, my band played some shows, and one of my friends in like the punk scene gave me a big box of like 90s toys that a friend gave to him.
Oh my God. Like, that's right. I forgot about this.
He's like, can you fucking sell these for me? And I looked at the, he gave me like a bag. It's like a falling apart Target bag. And I looked in and I was like, oh God, it's like a mess. Sure, dude, I got you. Well, I'll put it on eBay. I'll break it all up, list it. We'll split the money. And I got home. I threw it in a corner for a while. Then, like, finally got around to it. And I was like, oh, it's a Monster My Pocket figures. I wonder if it has that one Monster My Pocket toy that goes with the NES. Oh, there it is. Right on top. I just was like, oh, here's that figure I've been looking for fucking
20 years.
Half a decade. Yeah, I don't know. Like, like a fucking decade almost. Or not a decade, but close to.
So just but so like, people know, when you bought Monster My Pocket back in the day, it came packed in with a Monster My Pocket toy.
It's a little plastic figurine.
If you bought Monster My Pocket back in the day, yes, it came back with a toy, but predominantly, the majority of all of them are missing that toy if you ever get it, because they packed it differently than they pack any other NES game. Every NES game you always buy always has the styrofoam block on the bottom and then a cartridge on top. And that's that. But this Monster in My Pocket had the cartridge on the bottom and then a styrofoam block on top that was like 2/3 the length of a normal one and a little toy next to it. So to get to the game, you had to remove the toy. So everyone just probably pitched that, threw it in a bin or whatever. Just like this dude toy collection that I got, he must have had that game growing up and he pitched the fucking Monster in My Pocket toy into a bin with like 80 other ones and it just got lost in the shuffle. And I just sifted it out of there. And I was like, holy fuck. He let me keep it for free because he didn't give a shit. And he was like, kind of like, I was helping him out. So that's a $200 figure. And I gave up trying to buy it because online people want $250.
Yep. And there's four different versions of it, right?
There's four colors. It's like a green, a blue, a pink, and an orange. And mine is the blue one. A little marred up. Don't give a shit. I put it right in my box. I was like, bam, complete. Because I've had all that. Mostly complete except for the figure for so long. I even had the original little block. I didn't make my own or anything. I had that in there. I got that box from shit, man. I want to say that's another box that I got from RST Video.
Leonardo, New Jersey.
I bought a lot of empty boxes from the RST Video in New Jersey.
You son of a bitch.
6 or 7 years ago, and that was in there. So made some money at VGS. I got a little spendy. I bought an Arcus Odyssey. Complete in box game on the Sega Genesis for myself, something I've wanted for a while. Got an okay deal on it, so I made a move on it. A box only for Sparkster, because I have the cart at home, and I'm going to somehow...
Like a complete psychopath, you're going to piece together Sega Genesis game. A rare Sega Genesis game.
I just was about to say I'm an idiot, and I haven't learned my lesson the 500 other times I've failed doing this, so I don't know. The box was like $100 only. And I was like, okay, I got nothing in the cart. $100 in the box. Surely I'll find a manual for this, even though I've never been able to do that for anywhere again.
The lies we tell ourselves.
Yeah. So I got that, and I got a treat to myself to a PCB for my PlayChoice 10 Balloon Fight.
The greatest of PlayChoice 10 and Black Box games, Balloon Fight. Go on.
Fuck yeah, man. I'm so excited I got that. It's been on my want list forever. I'm trying to get the ultimate PlayChoice 10 lineup, and I'm like one card away from what I want it to be. Balloon Fight is one of them. Got that. Threw it in. Pulled Super Mario Brothers out. Sold that motherfucker. It's gone. And the big boy here that I bought was something that I actually made a deal on a few months ago with a friend of my boss's at Logan Arcade, who mediated a deal between an old friend of his in Aurora, Illinois, who has had a Nintendo Sharp television for roughly 20 years that he founded a Salvation Army 20 years ago in Aurora, and he is now ready to sell. And so he reached out to my friend, or my boss at Logan, and was like, hey, do you know anybody you would be interested in? I'm ready to sell this thing. And he was like, actually, the assistant tech here is like the biggest Nintendo dork ever, so I'll put you in touch with him and maybe he can help you sell it or something if he doesn't want it. So, and eventually we linked up and I was like, kept on being like, yeah, I can probably find someone for you and this and that. And then eventually I was just like, I just want it because his is so nice and it has all four legs, which is very rare. If anybody who knows anything about the Nintendo Sharp television, all four legs are on it. And it had the fucking remote. The remote alone is like a $500.
The remote is ridiculous. So I'm going to say two things. Number one, welcome to the club of Sharp NES owners, where you have the thing that you love, and man, where the fuck do you put it?
Okay. Oh yeah.
And in the immortal words of Newman, on Seinfeld. What took you so long?
Shit, man.
Because I got mine months ago.
Yeah. Right.
Get on the trolley. I mean, anyway.
This is one of those things that, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, it'd be cool to have that. But, like, it just seems completely unrealistic to actually have an opportunity to buy one.
It does. It does. It just, they don't pop up very often. And when they do, people want too much. And the realistic ability to buy one is tough. I deal with that with a number of things in this hobby where you're just like, it's not about the money sometimes. It's about the opportunity to do it. And then whether or not I want to spend the money is the question, right? So yeah, I totally get it.
It's not an item you can buy online and have shipped. It's got to be like some local deal. Or
no, exactly.
A million hours to go get it. But this guy... Yep. Was willing to sell me this, all four legs, with the remote. It was missing the battery cover, but I bought after some research and joining the Facebook group for the Sharp TV owners, I found a similar model Sharp remote that you can steal the battery cover from. So, mine has a battery cover now.
Nice. Battery cover will do. You can't tell the difference. It's like the back of a Nintendo 64 game.
Sure. It's just a Sharp-made remote. But doesn't have the original Sharp NES controllers. That I can track down if I care to. I probably will.
Holy cow. Good luck.
It works perfect. It works perfectly. And the giant eyesore. It's in my game room right now. I've only used it once, really, but I'm going to probably play some more stuff on it. But now I just have it, and now it's my burden to keep it intact and protect
that
it
is forever. Exactly right. Now, like I said, we had that problem in the basement, and it was up, right? So no big deal. Like, it's not going to get hurt, but it's like just moving it. I'm like,
yep.
Oh God, here we go.
Yeah.
I do not want to move it.
I mean, full disclosure, I paid $1,000 for this thing, and like with the remote off four legs, that's actually a deal.
Oh, it is. That's a total steal. No controllers. With the remote is worth half of that.
And the dude was willing to drive it to my doorstep. Yeah. He drove it to my doorstep from Aurora.
What's that like?
Amazing. I just handed him a pile of cash. I was like, thanks, bud. And that was it. And actually, I'd hurt my hand the day prior, so he actually had to carry it up 3 foot of stairs and put it in my game room. I was like, sorry, man, this isn't normal, but I like bruised my thumb the other day and I can't hold it.
I hurt my hand playing Mortal Kombat on the Sega Genesis.
I actually heard it dropping an arcade cabinet at Logan off a dolly. It scared the fuck out of me.
Oh, that's what you get paid for. Boo hoo.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Anyway. It's fine.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, that's a lot of shit. I mean, other than that, played a few games. I ran through, I beat Illusion of Gaia. I don't think we ever, came full circle on that. Mm-hmm. I actually completed that. Game's done. Good game. I'm glad it was over when it was done.
Yes.
I ran through Mystic Defender on the Genesis randomly. I think that's about it. Ran through Battletoads Arcade, which is vastly superior to the home versions. Really good game. I recommend it to anyone who can get a hold of like the ROM or find an arcade machine and play it. Soundtrack made composed by the same guy who did the Donkey Kong Country soundtrack, and he made it in the same year, so it sounds phenomenal and very similar to that.
Nice.
Yeah, I learned that because I was playing the game at Logan. We just put it on the floor, and I was like, damn, this sounds like Donkey Kong Country. And I was like, really into the tunes. And I went home and looked it up. And yeah, sure enough.
It is.
who worked at Rare, who just did all their music for their games for like years and years.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. I'm currently playing Boulder Dash on the NES randomly. Hard-ass puzzle game. And then...
Well, let me ask you this. Did you play anything on the Sega Genesis?
Aside from Mystic Defender, which I ran through, which is an early... grid title Genesis game.
Jesus,
phenomenal game.
You son of a bitch. You're going to say no. Do you know what game we're playing today?
I played Gold Max.
Oh!
I knew he played it.
Man.
You thought I was going to say no?
I had a bad feeling.
I snuck a session in last night.
A session.
I was really tired from work, and I took a nap, and I woke up, and I was like, oh, God, I got to play Gold Max. Like, it was my homework.
Oh, shit. Like, he woke up, oh, God, I got to have it done in 90 minutes.
So I played through as far as I could go. I died. I didn't beat it. And I was like, you know what? Instead of hitting start here and trying again, I'm going to pop in the fucking Sega CD version, which is on the Sega CD Classics Collection, our classic arcade collection that comes as a pack-in game with the Model 1 Sega CD.
Yeah, it's the foldy, it's the paper CD like jewel case. Yeah.
Thing, yeah. And it has, despite the fact that it says Arcade Classics, it has Streets of Rage 1 on it. In the column? Was that a fucking arcade game? I don't even know.
I don't think so. Not here. Anyway, go on.
No. And Revenge of Shinobi, which also was an arcade game. Anyway, I played that version too for my second attempt. And, like, it's pretty identical. But for some weird reason, like, the sound mix is weird. Like, the music's quiet on it, and the sound effects are fucking loud. And it wasn't as enjoyable as the Genesis one to me.
Huh.
I don't know what they did there, but that's, like, weird. But Genesis game always held a special place in my heart. I loved the entire theme of it. I love the box art or all artwork in general that's ever been attached to it. The fucking logo, the font, the music is phenomenal. The gameplay is good. It's got that late 80s Sega vibe that I just love so much. It's probably one of my favorite eras of gaming next to the NES, or just as much. I like that era. I don't know. I can't. My friend Eric is giving me shit once I told him this was our episode we were choosing. He's like, it's just going to be a love fest. Everyone's just going to fucking praise that game because we all know it's awesome. So that's kind of what I'm doing. Not much to say about it is that, like, if you own a Genesis, kind of a mandatory purchase. You should have this in your collection. So it's a 5 out of 5 for me.
That was a
no-brainer for me. As you guys mentioned that we were doing this, I was like, oh, it's a 5.
Eric said it was going to be a love fest. Has he heard our other Genesis episodes?
No, he just every that's a critique of his. He's like, every time like we review like Zelda Link's Awakening or Link to the Past or something like that, it's like, yeah, no shit, everyone's going to give it a 5.
Yeah.
That's kind of how he felt about this one. He's like, I like it when there's, you know, when people are have varied reviews and there's some conflict.
He basically likes it when I shit on it and you get pissed.
Yeah, like the Alter Beast episode.
Or Nick gets asshole pissed. Whoa. Yes.
Like the fucking Alter Beast episode, you dick.
Oh, we're doing a Genesis game tonight and I'm next, so we'll see how that goes.
If you hammer this one, if you fucking rail on Nick, we're going to have a real problem on our hands.
Well, it's been nice talking to you, Robbie. Hey, what do you think of that Golden Axe?
Not bad.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, you should end it. Leave it. I'm out of here. That's it.
Perfect.
All right, Robbie, buckle up for my review.
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm fucking ready, bitch.
Time for the real outro. Thank you, Robbie, for joining us. As always, 8-Bit Supremacy on Instagram, owner of a PlayChoice 10, and now the Sharp NES TV. 8-Bit Supremacy, Robbie Coleman, everybody.
I'm bad.
Let Robbie get his hot cocoa and sit down and get ready for my review.
Everybody get buckled up because it's time for Jay to shit on a Genesis game.
We deserve an Altered Beast Golden Axe mashup. That would
kind of do. Thank you, Tiger Wolf. I've seen you in there, by the way. I haven't had a chance to say hi.
Would it be Golden Beast or Altered Axe?
I think AA has already been spoken for, so maybe the GB. The Green Bay people might not be very happy, but who gives a fuck what they think?
Yeah.
So all right, Jay, it is your turn. Please provide me and regale me with your take.
Look at Robbie. I'm fucking ready.
I'm fucking ready, he says. What do you got? What do you got?
I'm trying to see if I'm trying. Are you going to let him call back in if he
absolutely not.
Okay. We're not going off the rails tonight, huh?
No, can't do it. I got to get home.
So, no, I played it. And I remembered it. And same thing. I remembered it from when I was a kid in the arcade and you'd see that marquee and you were. It was like,
it's like intimidating. I don't know how to describe that.
That guy is intense.
That game is intense.
So
anyway,
it was something from a Genesis standpoint. I had one friend that had a Genesis. Like he was the oddball, I guess you could say, because everybody else had Nintendos and Super Nintendos. But this one buddy, Jay, he actually lived in the same neighborhood our friend Tim that you got a bunch of those boxes from. He actually had one. So that's where I played it. And, playing it again, I played it. I actually was playing it earlier this afternoon. I did a run through of it just to make sure. You know, I haven't played it in a while, so I wanted to make sure I still feel the same way about it. So the complaint I had about it when I was playing through it was... I forgot about how if there's two guys on the screen and you're playing by yourself, they fucking Knight at the Roxbury you. They get on either side of you and they beat the shit out of you.
One of them runs to the other side.
Yes.
And then you, the other guy stays in front of you and they just sandwich you and you're like, fuck off.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes. I'm like, what in the hell is going on with this?
Correct.
So that was driving me nuts. But I did get a giggle because I never thought about that with the little elf guys, but I really did when I was watching it in, on the cutscenes doing that today. I was like, this reminds me, they look like Jerry Seinfeld. Like if Jerry Seinfeld was an elf throwing out little bottles of magic or chunks of meat with a bone in it, whatever. That just made me think about what? it was Jerry.
I'm wondering now.
What are you wondering?
Because, you know, there's the rumor that Jerry Seinfeld wrote all those books where he wrote letters to companies that were ridiculous, right? I forget the pseudonym that he did it under. But maybe he was involved in Golden Axe and he's actually Gilius Thunderhead.
I don't know.
Seems like that would be the most obvious. He's certainly not Axe Battler. And he ain't Tyus.
You heard it here first. Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe. Who's to say in these uncertain times?
But all in all, Robbie told me to get good.
Yeah, well.
I will tell you I did get good because I beat the game and he didn't. So
you beat it?
I did. It took me a couple runs. I didn't do it my first try.
I did not beat it.
But I did end up beating it. So I use Gilius. That's my dude. So
Gilius, I would agree with that.
This is for Komen. You ready, Robbie? You better be ready, Robbie. You ready, Pitts?
I'm ready.
5.0.
Wow. 5.0.
I love this game. This game was a blast. It was so fun to play it again. It did. When I first started playing, I was like, this is driving me nuts. Because they kept doing that shit. And then I'm like, once I started getting my rhythm on it, and I was like, okay, I can deal with it. I got it. Look at Robbie. You had me worried.
You had me worried, he says.
All right, Michael.
What?
You're up.
Up for what?
You're next on the LJN game rating.
Oh, I see. Let me put my phone down. Because normally I wouldn't be playing with my phone, but I'm trying to do something here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do I start with this game? First of all, it's on the Sega Genesis. Let's start there. So that immediately is a problem for some people. Not me, per se.
Not me.
Okay. But some people might have a problem with that.
Okay.
You know, collectors, investors, you know, I've been trying to work on my investment portfolio. Genesis, that ain't where it's at from an investment perspective. So, no, anyway, seriously, I really like this game. When I was a kid, I remember not playing this game because, like I said, the marquee was like this weird, intimidating thing where I'm like, is this game in Japanese? Like, what's happening? And I wouldn't really play these types of games in the arcade anyway. But even when I got it at home, I was like, it was not, I like beat 'em ups, but it was not necessarily like my style of game. Like, it wasn't my preferred choice. So I didn't really play it much as a kid is kind of what I'm getting at. I played it for the show and I really enjoyed it. My biggest gripe, and spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you, the reason I can't give it a 5.0, I can't give it a 5.0. I'm going to give it a 4.5. And I'm going to tell you why. This game does the thing that, it's one of the things I hate the most about video games, especially of the era. When you are walking in a side-scrolling beat-em-up or any game or whatever it is of that ilk, right?
Yes.
I don't want to have to be able to walk all the way to the right-hand side of the fucking screen where enemies are going to show up. Like, limit my ability to go that far over on the screen. I hate that. When I'm going from level to level and, like, you're between levels where, like, you've beat all the enemies and now you're moving to the next segment of the beat-em-up where there will be more enemies, you walk and, like, I want my guy to stay right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to be able to walk all the way up here and then the enemies show up right there in front of you and then they start beating your ass because you didn't know they were there.
I think you might need to replay it then.
I just played
because
it.
Because if you slow down, if you do that, you can do that. But if you slow down or stop, once you are advancing, the screen will keep moving to the next segment.
I constantly was stopping and waiting and stopping and waiting. So
that was one of the things I liked.
Yeah, but you played the emulator version. I played the Genesis version.
Oh.
So I'm telling you, maybe there was some difference. I don't know. I hate that there are some games on the TurboGrafx. I think Exile is a good example where it's like, I remember really wanting to play that game, being all excited. And like, you literally walk like you're like 95% to the right of the screen. And it drives me crazy because I'm always like, I need a little gap. I need a buffer to know that like somebody's coming or whatever, especially in a game like that, where you get three lives and you get three continues and that's it. So if you walk too fast, I don't know, like maybe it's just, maybe I have some old revision of the cartridge or something. You walk and I would be able to walk all the way to the edge of the screen. Then I have to wait for it to catch up. And the next thing you know, guys are there kicking my butt.
I think you're just impatient.
I'm not impatient. I would wait. And that's even worse. What's more exciting than waiting in a side-scrolling beat 'em up? Anyway, I'm going to give it a 4.5. I really enjoyed it. I liked the game. I would, if I were to rate the players, I would say that I think Axe Battler is the worst of the three. I do not enjoy playing as him. He is slow and plodding. And like you said, when you're getting knighted at the rocks buried by them, it's almost impossible to get away from them with him. Gilius was probably my favorite, and I liked Tyus as well, the Amazon, but I hated playing as Axe Battler. So, but yep, 4.5 for me. Definitely a fantastic game. People should play. One of the better games on the Genesis. I'm glad that I finally got a copy on my hands. And you know, that's pretty much my review.
Good.
Yay.
Good review.
All right. So let's give our friend, retro game enthusiast John Young, a call.
Let's do it.
Ahoy, ahoy.
We're going back to Magmax again for retro game enthusiast John Young, Mr. Famicom Box himself, because that's what Tyler says I have to call him, the man, the myth, the legend of all things Famicom, from the mean streets of Kansas City, John Young.
Hey, you're not calling me on Discord. I sound okay?
You sound fine.
That's right. We didn't all call right. you on Discord. I totally just fucked up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. I heard the full Magmax music, which was nice, and I hear Jay fairly clearly. So, as long as I sound fine, I'm good.
You sound good.
By the way, feel free to cut this, but at some point in the future, Robbie's intro, Robbie, plug your ears. At some point in the future, Robbie's intro should just be a guy in Chicago.
Yeah, that's good.
Leave it at that.
Got it. He's this guy in Chicago with hair.
No. Just a guy in Chicago, and then let the rest of the bad dudes music play out. All right, Rob, you can unplug your ears now. So yeah, I'm only going to take a little bit longer than anybody else did on the collecting. I got like 500 Famicom games in the mail. So I got Famicsa, 87, 88. I did not get an 89, but I did get a 98 and a 91 and a 92. No 93. Sorry, I should have started with the A's. Let me go back. No, I got a bunch of Famicom games in the mail. I really haven't been picking up much. I didn't get anything at VGS, which seems like a waste. But yeah, no, I'm doing good. I'm not saving up any money for any particular big purchase like Mike. But I do have an obscene number of Famicom games I need to start unloading. I did hook up with the dude that runs the KC Retro shows the other day, and
can I have about 500 of them for a little while? Spar off for about a minute. I'll give you
For a minute. Yeah. No, and you can for $275 per game, you can borrow a lot of them and then not give them back.
Pass.
All right, that's fine. I got some good ones. I got a little game called Wobble World 2. Everybody needs.
That's true. I actually do need that. I think I just gave you back a copy of that, didn't I?
Potentially, yeah.
I don't know.
I already sold you one.
John, maybe can I ask you a very important question?
About Wawa World War II?
No. I was actually going to ask if you have Brunswick World Tournament Champions.
That's Super Famicom.
Oh,
And no.
Okay, I was going to say, is that meat paste that you spread on sandwiches, Brunswick?
Maybe.
Or no, it's Brunswick.
That's Brunswick, yeah. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Same thing.
Yeah.
They're both $5.
What else did you get, John?
I think that's it, honestly. I've not really gotten much. I did get the River City Girls and the Super Nintendo box because I'm a sadist for that sort of thing. I'm really excited for Sea of Stars to come out on the Nintendo Switch. I was a early Kickstarter backer on that one. So,
oh, cool.
Sea of Stars is kind of, it's the same group of people that did the Messenger out of Scandinavia, wherever. And it's got real Chrono Trigger and kind of like 90s RPG vibes with some of that like dual tech, triple tech stuff from Chrono Trigger going on. And the music's pretty awesome. So that's coming out next month.
Nice.
But yeah, and, other than that, nothing too crazy. I'm still winding down on Tears of the Kingdom. I know this is where Jay likes for me to put this in. I'm at like 65% complete. Man, I had a ton of money, and then somehow I just started upgrading that armor. And
then you were broke. Like
700 ruples. Yeah, exactly. I got to go head back up north and get some meat before it gets frosty and sell it to some dudes.
That's right.
Not a euphemism. We're good.
Good.
If you've been following the chat at all, me and Tired Wolf are just talking about men in their 40s taking naps. Specifically us, not like other men in their 40s.
That's not very compelling at all.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, well, that's it for me.
Did you play the game lately, John?
Oh, yeah. Other than Tears of the Kingdom, I did play some Golden Axe. And so...
Did you play it on the Mega Drive?
I did not. I played it on the Sega, Mega SG, or whatever it's called.
Oh,
you fancy bitch.
Did you play it with your pinky out then?
I did. Oh. So, sorry, like Alter Beast, this was very much in that generation of bring the arcade home with you that Sega really kind of pioneered at that time. Major improvements over Alter Beast in that the screen wasn't limited to like a zoomed in hairy dude fest. I mean, everybody was pretty shaven, even those squirrel dudes. Jerry Seinfeld Squirrel, whatever it was.
Jerry Squirrelfeld.
Yeah, Squirrelfeld. Yes.
He's nutty.
Yeah. Oscar nutty. Also, my dad was really into like making like swords and shit when I was a kid. And so this was right up the alley with all the like movies we were watching at the time, like Red Sonja and like dubbed over Arnold Schwarzenegger films, like, you know, Conan. So at the time when this came out, I'm like, holy shit, this is some adult style. This is like they took like what adults enjoy and made like a game out of it. So I remember trying to convince my dad that it was worth playing. He was not interested. So the other thing that really tightened up over Alter Beast is the controls.
That was an accident. Sorry, there was a technical difficulty in the booth. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Proceed. Finish that, please.
Sure it was.
It honestly was. I'm sorry. I was trying to find something I actually put my finger on. So go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, the duel thing, I feel like Double Dragon did that first, didn't they?
I mean, probably.
Oh, they did. I forgot about that.
I don't know. Yeah, did they do it in the arcade? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend I know.
I'm like 90% sure there is a Columns arcade cabinet.
That was part of the Sega thing. When Sega did the old, they released a bunch of stuff on arcade first.
Yeah.
It was basically arcade, and then they had the Sega arcade line, the Sega console line, and that's what they did.
Sega could have been billionaires. They just would have done Bejeweled.
Yeah, no shit.
Right.
That is a name I have not heard in a long time. Bejeweled.
Yeah, well, that's because somebody's sitting on a like dragon's hoard of treasure. Anyway, so the AI on this game, once you know how to manipulate it, it's so easy to just like make them jump into pits and shit. One thing I really enjoyed about this is they did kind of iterate on it, so they tried to add some interesting flavor to the game. Whereas like Double Dragon 2, you can pick up weapons, all cool and good. This one you can like get on weird like blob dragon creatures.
Yes, they have a name and they're actually in Altered Beast as well. I forget what they're called.
I think the Latin name is blob dragon creatures.
Yeah, it's blob dragon. That's right.
Really the official name. But so it was kind of cool. It was also annoying and cool that the bad guys could also get on them. This is also where the complexity of beat 'em ups kind of took an extra level. I agree with Robbie to get good and all, but like, I feel like this was kind of a step up from a lot of the other beat 'em ups at the time. But, you know, maybe that's just me. That being said,
are you asking me? I agree with you. I didn't know if you were looking for. It seemed like you were looking to solicit a response. I would agree that this was kind of a progression of the platform, especially in arcades, right? And then this, along with probably Streets of Rage, right, were kind of the, to me, those were the of the era, the two that I remember the most from a, like, just that style of game, right? Like, they kind of, they kind of, I don't want to say they pioneered it, because we talked about Double Dragon and stuff, but they definitely refined it. Like, go try and play, like, the original Double Dragon. Always seems like a good idea, and then you play it, and you're like, it's okay, I guess, you know? So, anyway, go ahead.
I can, when talking about the reception and how it's hard to find out how it was received at the time, for me and my friends, the Sega Genesis was the console where you played sports games, which was not a knock back then. It was like,
I agree,
that was the cool, fun sports games. Like, you get together with friends, play a bunch of football, eat some chips, you know, hang out. And then Golden Axe was just another one. Like, hey, you guys want to be barbarians for a bit? You know, you and your buddy Titus going at it.
Going at it?
Never mind.
Okay, go ahead. I don't know. Forget that.
I don't know if Titus listens to this. I shouldn't have said anything. But no, like, it's got a lot of that salad, like, co-op kind of fun, you know, all right, we're done playing, like, Madden kind of, let's play this now. That being said, there are some hindrances. Like, some of the battle stuff, I feel like, is a little repetitive. There are some issues with, like, the AI just being so dumb. Other than the Roxbury thing, I just to make Eric feel better, I feel like I'm going with a 4 on this one. I was like 4.5, kind of right there. But I'd say, is this a better game than Kung Fu? I'm not sure.
I don't know what to say about that.
Oh,
I it's a longer game, and it ostensibly, is it better? I don't know. I probably. I don't know. Kung Fu is just so much. I don't want to talk about Kung Fu. So, but I will say that that's a great question. If I line them up next to each other, which would I rather play? Well, at least Kung Fu, I don't traverse all the way to the left hand side of the screen when I'm going in the direction to get those guys, because that is irritating as piss. Anyway, go ahead.
Even though they seem like they're very similar games, I would say that they're actually much more different. They're in the similar genre, but there's something about them, and it's not even like the fantasy thing. Like, I feel like there's so much difference with Golden Axe that even though you would think they'd be similar games, you could easily compare. I don't think it's the same. I could play Kung Fu for, you know, an hour or so, put it down and be like, yeah, I'm okay to play Golden Axe. Let's play this. But if I played like Final Fantasy IV, and then you asked me if I wanted to play Final Fantasy VI after like 6 hours of Final Fantasy IV, I'd be like, I need a break.
Kind of threw me off on that. Yeah, just sorry. Kind of threw me off on that.
No, that's fine. I figured Jay was thinking I was going 5. I was really counting on Jay and being the downer on this one.
No, I actually I had you at a 3.5. I expected Mike to be the downer. I had him listed for a 3, and he gave it a 4.5.
No, it's a lot of it's the nostalgia. Like, the controls being tight actually really kind of like brought me up on the game. I expected to like it more when I went into it, but I still had a good time. Diversity of characters isn't like a big deal, because Jimmy and Bimmy really aren't that much different.
No.
They're brothers.
And I don't like this as much as Double Dragon 3.
What about Double Dragon 5? I'm joking. No. You're not even. It's terrible.
Woof. If it tied in with the movie, then I'd say that's the perfect game.
Yeah, because that's everybody's favorite, you know, late 80s, early 90s video game based movie is Double Dragon.
Yeah, what's his name from Terminator 2, the T-1000 or T-2000?
Yeah. Now,
I did not beat the game. Well, I was busy, man. I was playing around with something for work over the weekend for no good reason. And then, like, other things came up in life. But, like, do you ever get the Golden Axe? There's a lot of buildup.
Yes.
No. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
No.
You get the Golden Axe. The game's called Golden Axe. It's the mythical Golden Axe.
I see. I didn't hear what you said.
No, you beat.
I didn't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you beat. You beat him.
But in Minecraft, the Golden Axe is not as good as you think it would be.
Oh, well.
So what else you got for me, John?
What else, man? I don't know. Might be at Michigan sometime next month.
Oh, what, Mike and I will both be here.
Right. What are you doing? Why?
I don't want to talk about specifics because it's a downer, but I may be up in Lansing.
Oh, okay. That's not too far from us. So
yeah,
we can talk about that Lansing offline. We'll talk about that offline.
That's fine. Yeah, people don't know specifics. We're going to go to the beer exchange.
People love the capitals.
Sorry, not Lansing, Kalamazoo. That's what I meant. Kalamazoo Beer Exchange. You guys been? I like to sell short. You buy up all the Lagunitas and sell them off to people.
Well, John, I got good news for you. I found your outro song. Here it comes.
Okay.
No, I found the right song. I found the right song, not the wrong song. Mike had it labeled wrong.
Okay.
All right, John, I'm wrapping you up, buddy.
All right, later, John.
There it is. That's the song. On the mean streets of Kansas City.
Are they that mean?
You never been to Kansas City?
A guy in Kansas City.
A guy in Kansas City.
You're not even going to say who it was in the outro? You're not going to mention the guy's name?
No, he told me just to say a guy from Kansas City. Fair so enough. I said a guy from Kansas City.
All right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You got it.
Retro game enthusiast John Young, everybody. The man, the myth, the legend.
Well.
Who's talking about Kung Fu in the middle of Golden Axe. That guy is intense.
I'm just going to sit here and let you run the show from now on.
Okay.
So, go ahead. What's next?
Wow. Somebody's cranky.
I'm actually not cranky. I'm in a great mood.
Oh.
Other than, you know, I'm cranky.
Well, we got all of our scores?
Yeah, we don't have a review from our friend Sashimi, so if we get one, we'll add it. But you know that guy?
He's
elusive. Yeah, he kind of is not a fan.
Loose cannon.
He's definitely volatile. There's no doubt about that. So, all right. I'm going to go over collecting a little bit.
Okay.
I'll let you do speed running, and then we will wrap up. So, this game, there's truly, I'm not going to get down the nasty rabbit holes of like the Sega CD release or the six-pack version on Genesis or any stuff, even though there was one, okay? But the variants of this game at its core were the standard black grid box version, which sits in front of us for those watching the live stream, and then there are Sega Classics, which were the blue-bordered Sega Classics that came out later for the Genesis, and they have that same artwork, you know, kind of on an angle on the cover. And there's actually two versions of the Sega Classics, one made in Japan, one made in the USA. From what I can tell, the one made in the USA is much more common than the one made in Japan for the Classics edition. Okay, so all that being said, this is about a $15 game loose, regardless of the version you want to buy. Okay, if you want the made in Japan black box, grid box version, again, $15 loose, probably about $40 complete in box. For the Sega Classics edition, regardless of whether it is Japan or USA, same price on the loose card, about $15 and about $20 CIB. So not a super hard game to find.
I would ask why people would buy it loose, but after VGS,
hey man, anything's possible.
People buy Genesis games loose.
Anything's possible, apparently. So, yeah. But don't do that. So, population report on this game from WADA. There are 16 total sealed and one CIB out there that have been graded by WADA. Yeah. The made in Japan black box grid box version there, one. There's one of this game that has ever sold, or no, I'm sorry, one of this game that has ever been graded by WADA. It's a 9.2A. This is not an easy game to find sealed that is like the original run of this game. The Sega Classics, on the other hand, there's 15 of them. 14 of them are the made in USA variant. One of them is the made in Japan variant. And the best of all of them is there's a 9.8 A++ made in USA Sega Classics edition. There's one CIB, 7.0 made in Japan. Now I'm looking at mine here and I'm thinking to myself, it might be a 7.5. We might have another Shining in the Darkness situation where there's two out there, but guess who's got the nicest one? Me, baby, me. So who's to say what's going to happen with all that? But anyway, a little bit about graded sales. So I'm going to do the highest, the lowest, and the most recent. The most this game has ever sold for was $528. Okay. These are all I should start by saying these are all Sega classics. There's never been a recorded sale on Heritage Auctions or eBay of a graded grid box version of this game. So again, really hard to get your hands on that. Yeah. But the most it's ever sold for on Heritage was a WADA 9.4 A++ on Halloween 2021, $528. Hmm. The least expensive version of this that's ever been sold was, again, a classics variant of this game, 9.2A, WADA graded, $114. That was June 16th, 2019. I'm not sure if that still counts because that's before the insanity set in. And then...
Where is it?
I don't have it.
Oh, I figured you would have bought it.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
The most recent sale of this game was a CGC graded 9.4 B+. That I probably should have bought. April 18th of this year, $159.
Yeah, you should have bought
it. So I will also say that a Sega Master System copy of this game sold as a 9.6A. It was WADA graded for $630. So technically, that's the most expensive version of this game that has ever sold. That was October 13th of last year. Yeah. All of that information coming from eBay and Heritage Auctions. The end. I am not testy. I was out of my mind. I think it's this this non-aged rye messed my head up or something. I was like in La La Land during the whole John segment. I don't know what was going on. I think I kept expecting you to do something and you would just sit there. And I'm like, will you say something, please?
I was listening to him.
I know. But I was just like in Ryland.
Like, it was like a Cheshire Cat thing.
He
went down a rabbit hole and I was just like, I don't know where to go.
I kind of did.
Yeah.
Kind of did.
It was interesting.
I don't know what was going on there for a minute, but I also was also on the rye. Mr. Leahy gets back on the rye again. Anyway.
I got some too.
So tell me a little bit about the speed running.
Sure.
Of this game, Jay.
I can do that. So we got 76 players that have run it and we have 360 runs. A lot more than I would have expected.
I'm going to tell you too. I'm going to jump in real quick.
Go ahead.
Because I did a little bit of research here. There's a guy that's doing some speed runs and he's hunting these records, man.
Really?
Because I started to add like the dates and stuff and I'm like, oh, this guy's gunning for everybody. You can just kind of tell they're working up they got to get their strats down.
I'm assuming
down.
It's the guy on here.
Yeah, talk about it. Yeah. Talk about the first two and I'll talk about the third thing.
So we got two runs on here, two styles, of course, arcade and beginner.
Yep.
Those are the two options.
Because the third stages option, versus three.
Yeah. Because that's the third option you have is dual. So
yep.
There's really no...
I mean, you could beat all 12 guys, but who cares?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So for the arcade version, the fastest runner is 01 Garland 01. Which he or she did it in 7 minutes, 33 seconds, 583 milliseconds. And that was done January 27th of 2020, so a little over 3 years ago.
Yep.
The beginner run was done by the person's name is Beetle 111, BEADLE 111.
Mm-hmm.
And they
who'd they use?
Oh, they used Tyrus.
Yep.
So... they did it 2 minutes, 47 seconds, 867 milliseconds.
And when did they do that?
July 15th of this year. So
10 days ago.
Yeah.
10 days ago. And then what I realized is Beetle just beat that record, like Beetle 111.
Mm-hmm.
Beetle also just completed an arcade run of the game, the longer version.
Yeah.
That was 7 minutes, 42 seconds, 900 milliseconds, which is just over 9 seconds longer than the record. So I think Beetle is gunning for old Garland there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Oh.
That's interesting. Might have to keep an eye on that. Maybe we'll circle back on that.
We have to come back in a couple weeks. It might be changed by then.
Yeah.
Beetle could have been doing a number of runs and gotten 7 minutes, 33 seconds, and 582 milliseconds.
Did you happen to see if Beetle was doing any other speed runs, trying to take some thrones?
I don't have that kind of time.
Oh, okay. So, but everything, all the info we had is, of course, from speedrun.com.
That is correct.
You are correct, sir.
Well, I think that's the show. I think we did it.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I'm not doing my collecting for a second again. That was way too hard. That threw everything off. I do it first.
Man, it really did.
It did.
That dynamic of the show was just like flipped upside down.
Yeah.
So.
I don't want to be in the captain's chair. I want to be I want to be a co-pilot. I want to be a Kareem.
That was that's right. Rupert Murdoch.
Yes.
My name is Rupert Murdoch. Oh, my dad says you play for the Lakers. Anyway. All right. So next game. We're doing it in 2 weeks, Wednesday, August 9th. We're going to do an NES game. Skate or die.
Let's go.
Skate or Die for the NES, Wednesday, August 9th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Sorry we started a little early today for those watching the stream. We did a live reveal of my CGC graded books, so sorry for those on the West Coast, you know, Tiger Wolf and all those guys.
My copy of Super Metroid.
Stroking the Super Metroid. Jay, where can the people listening to us now find us?
Well, I feel sad because I don't think Valdor's here tonight.
I know.
But we have a link tree. He can hear it on the podcast.
He'll know.
He will. So, we do. We have a link tree. It's linktr.ee/lostjoystick. Or if you just want to go to our social media pages, you can go to Lost Joystick. That's for Instagram and Twitter. And you can go to Lost Joystick Network for Facebook and Twitch. And our email address is info@lostjoysticknetwork.com. And you can email us anything you'd like.
Well, I do think that is a show. So I'll say thank you to everybody. Jay, thanks. Robbie, thanks. John, sorry about the abrupt ending to your segment. Thanks. I want to say go out there and have fun and be safe and be excellent to each other.